the snap from Berger. Looks left. Date left to the end zone. And it's caught. Touchdown, Vikings! That's Stephon Diggs' third touchdown this year and his first touchdown since week 8 against the Chicago Bears. And the Vikings take a 6-0 lead. Set to accept the Joe Berger snap, and there it is. Big blitz by the Bears. Teddy dump right. Caught McKinnon 15-10. Shakes a tackle at the 5. Reaches for the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! Ooh. It is Jerick McKinnon's first National Football League touchdown. Bridgewater back to pass. Fires right. Caught Diggs. Heads to the far side. 25-20, 15. Angles to the left. 10-5. Reaches for the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings! Teddy takes the snap. Looking for his fourth touchdown pass. Steps up. Runs. Inside the 10. To the 5. Flag on the play. Touchdown, Teddy! Play action, rolling out to the right. Teddy pumps, dumps, caught Zach Line, reaches for the end zone. Touchdown, Vikings!
Welcome back. Another edition of the Wobcast coming to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park. A nice highlight reel put together by producer Nate Vaughn to begin the show, as we like to do most weeks. We are Mike Wobshaw and Nate Vaughn, bringing the Wobcast to you from Xfinity Studios at Winter Park in the midst of a big week for your Minnesota Vikings, coming off a big-time victory over the Chicago Bears at 38-17, and coming up on a big-time game against the New York Giants on Sunday Night Football in Week 16 with the playoffs on the horizon. Speaking of the playoffs, we apologize. We're a little bit late getting the Wobcast up this week. We were figuring out all the clinching scenarios for the Vikings this weekend, and there's a lot to go through, so it took a little bit extra time. But here we are, Nate Vaughn. We're here to bring everyone a Wobcast and talk about a great performance against the Minnesota Vikings, a 38-17 victory. Your thoughts as you were standing on the field after the game, getting ready to record the Between the Lines post-game report with me and with PA, what were you thinking at that moment with the Teddy chants reverberating still around that stadium?
That was really cool. It was maybe, I'm no Vikings historian or expert by any means, but it was probably the most confident I felt about the team so far this year.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously it's pretty late in the year, so it's a good time to feel confident about it. But after a good showing last week at Arizona, not a win, but a good showing against a very good team, and then kind of having our way with Chicago, who is always a tricky out for us, I think was a good feeling, and I think the fans felt the same way.
I think I agree. I think when you win and your quarterback plays great, that's like the pinnacle of how you can feel about your team after a game, and I think that's probably why you felt the way you did, because Teddy Bridgewater had a career day against the Chicago Bears. 17 of 20 for 231 yards, and 4 touchdowns against the Chicago Bears. He wasn't the only one who played great. A bunch of other guys did too, and that's why the locker room and the post-game press conference was such a fun place. Here's what it sounded like.
This team has got a lot of heart. It's got a lot of heart. It doesn't matter who gets hurt, who can't play this day. Somebody comes in and plays their rear ends off, okay? You guys did a heck of a job today. I'm proud as hell of this football team. We're not done yet, though. We still got a long way to go. If we play like we did today and last Thursday, if we play that way with that focus, intensity, preparation, toughness, we can do a lot of damage now. We get in this thing, there's going to be a lot. So let's go win the division.
Mm-hmm. Okay?
All right. Everybody gets a game ball, okay? Mm-hmm. Because they can't ever call you a loser again, okay? They can never call you that. Because we're winners from now on.
We're right. Ready to push now, yeah. Right? This is when it matters. So it's ain't a day off. It's time to come in and prepare.
Let's go, man.
Let's go. Win on three. 1, 2, 3.
Win!
That was a great overall team win today. Hats off to the defense. You know, those guys played exceptionally well today. You know, they did a great job of, you know, keeping Chicago's offense in check, you know, and they've been battling with injuries. So it was great to see those guys go out there and compete. It was a great overall team win today. You know, the guys, you know, had the same mindset, you know, that Coach Zimmer had talked about. We had to come in with that same intensity, the same focus that we had last week, and make sure that we were the ones on top this week. So I think the guys did a great job of responding and hearing Coach Zimmer's message and going out and executing today.
You know, if you look back on the sideline, I'm over there with big smiles on my face. You know, so many guys contribute today. Obviously, Teddy played outstanding in the running back group. You know, we had two guys get into the zone, you know, Jared McKinney and Zach Line. We were trying to get Matt in there too, but it feels good, you know, and it felt good to be on the sideline and maybe see those young guys get in there and get the job done.
Is that the first time in your life you've ever said it felt good to be on the sideline?
Probably.
Say about your guys' unit. I mean, it was Hunter, it was Johnson, it was Robinson, it was Floyd, Joseph Salah. I mean, you guys came at them with a lot of different folks today.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it was, like I said, it was really, truly a team effort for us. It was a group effort for our D-line. And, you know, that's just the way we play. You know, at any time, you never know when it's going to be your opportunity. And, you know, unfortunately for me, I missed two sacks today, but we had guys there that were able to clean it up. So that's what it's all about, is making sure that, you know, when you have an opportunity in front of you, make sure that you take advantage of it.
Surprised how off guard you guys were able to catch the Bears on a couple of those screens, especially early on?
I wouldn't say off guard because, you know, I feel like as an offense, we do a lot of things well. You know, sometimes this season we didn't well, sometimes we didn't. But, you know, we know, you know, how well we can execute and make plays. And, you know, today we found a lot of different ways to make plays. You know, at any given time, you know, when somebody touches the ball, it could be a big play. So, you know, everybody's waiting on an opportunity. And when they get it, you know, they make it plays. Mike made a big play down the middle. Jay Wright had a couple key first downs. So.
Is that your best game as a unit as a defensive line this season? I mean, 5 sacks. I think you had 6 or 7 pass defense. Was that your best game as a unit this year?
That was our best game as a unit, and it showed on the stat sheet this time of year, you know. And we can't really think about it. You know, we got to move on. We got to get to the next one. We got to work just as hard as this week to prepare for the next.
You check the scoreboard and get out of here and see if you guys are in?
I ain't worried about that. All I know is we got the New York Giants next week.
Okay, let's go over the good and the bad from the game. The good, Teddy's best day ever, a career day for him, 231 yards passing, 4 touchdowns, and 1 rushing touchdown. I have a cool stat for you and the listeners, Nate.
Let's hear it.
Teddy and Tarkenton. Teddy Bridgewater with 4 touchdown passes and 1 rushing touchdown. That's the first time since Fran Tarkenton that a Vikings quarterback has thrown 4 touchdown passes and ran for 1 touchdown pass. Even more, the only other time it happened, it was the first game in Vikings history.
That sounds like a long time ago.
That's as long a span as you can possibly have between two performances. 1961, you know, in Vikings history. 1961, first regular season game in franchise history. Fran Tarkenton did that, coming off the bench, leading the Vikings to a come-from-behind victory. Teddy Bridgewater did it on Sunday against the Bears. So that was good. Also good, Jerick McKinnon's best day ever. Jerick McKinnon had 4 catches for 76 yards on the day, including the first touchdown of his career on a 17-yard catch where he caught the ball at the line of scrimmage, darted down the field, broke a couple of tackles, dragged a defender into the end zone to score to put the Vikings up 17-7. So obviously, we are big fans of how Teddy played on Sunday, but so is NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. Here's what he had to say.
But we'll start off with Teddy Bridgewater. Vikings needed him to have a big game.
Yeah, Teddy Bridgewater's kind of been along for the ride for the Vikings this year. They've won a lot of football games, but it hasn't been because of Teddy's play. This game you can point to and say Teddy Bridgewater won this game for the Minnesota Vikings. Big coming out game for him. You see how efficient he was. Only 3 incompletions, the 4 touchdowns. And then when he needed to, he made a play with his legs as well. Adrian Peterson gets knocked out of this ballgame, Mark. They needed Teddy Bridgewater to step up his game, and he did just that.
What stat stands out to you the most? Which one do you think is the biggest bright point?
Well, I mean, look, the four touchdowns. I mean, he needs to put the ball in the paint, either throwing or running. Hasn't done it enough this season. They came in a big bunches in this game.
We also liked the pass rush and the pass protection. Jay Cutler went down 5 times. Teddy Bridgewater was protected sweetly all day, was able to stand back in the pocket, deliver strikes downfield. We loved the pass rush and the pass protection. It is probably no coincidence, folks, that Teddy Bridgewater's 2 best games of the season, last week at Arizona and this past week against the Chicago Bears, came on days when he was protected very well. No coincidence there. So we love the pass protection. Great job by the guys up front on the offensive line. What we didn't like from the game, and we're nitpicking here a little bit, we did win 38-17. After all, it was a dominant performance. It was a convincing win. But we got a little leaky on a long kickoff return to open the game, where Deontay Thompson took the opening kickoff and got out to midfield before Blair Walsh slowed him down and Trey Waynes pushed him out of bounds. So we'd like to shore that up a little bit. And then the onside kick the Bears had to open the second half. They surprised us, onside kick, and they get the ball. So a couple of things for Vikings special teams coordinator Mike Prefer to harp on this week as the Vikings get ready to play the New York Giants. But all else was good in the game for the Vikings. A couple of general talkers from the game. Yards after the catch. That's what the Vikings were very good at on Sunday against the Bears. Teddy Bridgewater had 231 yards passing, 173 yards of those 231 yards came after the catch. That's 74.9%. So a good job by Jerick McKinnon, by Stephon Diggs, by Jarius Wright, by Mike Wallace and Kyle Rudolph and Zach Line of gaining yards after they caught the ball. Also, 80 yards of the 231, which is 35%, came after contact. So Vikings playmakers breaking tackles and showing toughness. Love that.
Speaking of breaking tackles, obviously a insignificant stat, but it was cool seeing the only touchdown really that we didn't have to fight our way into the end zone was the first touchdown catch by Stephon Diggs. If you look at Stephon's other touchdown, he's dragging a guy into the end zone.
Yeah.
Jarek did the same, somehow not letting his knee touch the ground. Zach Line did the same, and Teddy jumped in the air, I'm sure gave both Turners a little bit of a heart attack there, but made it into the end zone just barely.
It's not an insignificant stat, Nate. In fact, you summarized it. I'll tell you exactly what it was because I went through the All-22 tape and charted all of it. Teddy's four touchdown passes were for a total of 69 yards. 50 of the 69 yards came after the catch, and 16 of those yards were after contact. Zach Lines was an awesome one at the end of the game. You may think it's inconsequential, but it really shows the grit and toughness that this team has. And the most impressive one may have been Diggs getting into the end zone the way he did, just showing an incredible amount of determination. So we love that. Another thing, the sequence to open the second half. Let's talk about that because you go into the locker room up 10. You come out of the locker room thinking this is sweet. We just scored to end the half, and now we get the opening kickoff of the second half. Let's go down there and put our foot on their throat and end this game right now. Whoops, onside kick. Bears get it. B-Rob is there to save the day.
Takes the snap. First and 10. Goes on the deep drop. He's hit. It's a strip sack. It's Vikings ball. It was a strip sack by Brian Robinson. And despite the onside kick, the Vikings have turned over the Bears.
Now's Brian Robinson getting around Kyle Long, who had been moved to right tackle earlier this season. So the defense comes up huge in a huge spot.
So what you have there is Brian Robinson making a huge play in the game, sacks Cutler, forces a fumble, recovers the fumble, and I think it was six plays later when Stephon Diggs scored his second touchdown of the game, and all of a sudden this thing is broken wide open, and the Vikings are up 24-7. So great job by Brian Robinson. He is playing great for the Vikings right now. He had six quarterback pressures on Jay Cutler on Sunday. He had a tackle. He had a tackle for loss, the forced fumble, the fumble recovery, all over the field doing a great job. Lastly, rookies and role players keep stepping up. Danielle Hunter, yet another tackle for loss and sack in the game. I think he's got a tackle for loss, Nate, in six consecutive games. He's really coming on strong right now. You have TJ Clemmings, who's part of that offensive line that has been playing so well the last couple of weeks as a rookie starting. Eric Kendricks, by the way, we haven't said his name a bunch, but he's playing solid starting at middle linebacker for the Vikings. Trey Waynes leads us in special teams tackles. Also got some action on defense against the Bears when Xavier Rhodes left briefly with an injury. Trey Waynes stepped in and played okay. So Vikings rookie and Stephon Diggs with two touchdowns in the game. Obviously, he's having a great season. Role players, how about Terrence Newman? Way he's playing right now, playing multiple positions for us. Brian Robinson playing a great role. Chad Greenway, who's been a stalwart for 10 years, kind of now a role player. He had a sack against the Bears. So, yeah, you got Teddy Bridgewater and Adrian Peterson who are playing great, and Xavier Rhodes did a nice job. But you also have role players who are stepping up and playing big for the Vikings. So that's a good sign. Two games to go for the Vikings. We'll get more into the playoff scenarios, the game against the Giants, later in this Wobcast. But right now, we're going to toss it to Nate Vaughn, who's going to run through the NFC North and what happened in Week 15 within our division, because there are a couple of things to note from the games, and then a couple of things to note from the games that will happen within the division this week. Let's throw it to Nate. He's going to walk us through it.
Well, why not start right here in Minneapolis?
Okay.
The Vikings winning 38-17. We talked about it. We'll keep talking about it. A solid showing for Mike Zimmer and his Minnesota Vikings.
Move to 9-5. Put yourself in a position to play for a division title in Week 17 if you can take care of business or if the Packers can lose this week. So I thought, Nate, that was a big win for the Vikings, because if you don't win that game, it's like, oh, we played so great against Arizona. Now we took a step back. We lost to a team we should beat. And you kind of start to feel the squeeze a little bit of, as improbable as it may have seemed before the game against Chicago, you lose that game and doubt starts to creep in with some people's minds about making the playoffs. Probably not within the building, because I think the team and the players and coaches are pretty confident about it, but externally, doubt starts to creep in. I thought it was a big win for the Vikings, and then they won it convincingly. We had Terrence Newman mic'd up for the game, and if you watch that clip, the very last thing that he's doing in that piece is he's walking off the field with Sharif Floyd, and he's saying, we needed a win like this, a 38-17 win like this. Not an easy win, not necessarily coasting at the end, but a win where it was just like, that wasn't a one- or two-play thing there. We dominated that team, put our foot on their throat in the fourth quarter, and we won. I think the Vikings needed a win like that, so a good call there by Terrence Newman.
The Packers traveling to Oakland and winning 30-20. The Packers clinching a playoff berth, still not determined what seed or what position they will be in the playoffs, but they are in. Hopefully we can reserve a spot here soon as well.
And knock them out of the playoffs. That would be fun, wouldn't it?
That would be fun.
Yeah. The Packers go down and win on the road. And I know it's the Raiders, but you know, the Raiders at one point in time were a little bit of a trendy team, and they do have some talent over there in Oakland. And so that's a good win for the Packers. I don't want to give them any credit, but we got to, because they went on the road and won a game and maintained their lead in the division and pretty solid footing in the NFC playoff picture. The one note on that game from the Raiders' side is Charles Woodson announced that he's going to retire at the end of the season. He's played in 15 games against the Vikings, Nate, and he's won 10 of them. He's been on teams that have beat the Vikings 10 out of 15 times. He's got a handful of interceptions against us. First ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion doesn't matter because I don't have a vote, but if I did, he would get my vote in the first year. He is a first ballot Hall of Famer, in my opinion. Has been a treat and a pleasure to watch, except those 15 games he suited up against us and won 10 times, but played corner, played safety, and he deserves a handshake, a tip of the cap, whatever you want to do, on a great career, a Hall of Fame career. So good job, Charles Woodson. Congratulations on a great career. Hope you can finish it well in the final two games, and we'll see you down the road.
Finally, on Monday night, the Lions beat the Saints 35-27, a score just looking at the names of those teams you would have kind of predicted.
Be honest with me.
Okay.
Did you watch that game?
We had it on here in the office.
Okay.
So
you did?
My eyes did look upon the screen
okay.
Every once in a while.
All right, so you did watch it. I also had my eyes on it. Truthfully, I did the whole, no, hon, that's okay. I don't need to watch the game tonight. Let's do something fun. I did that whole thing, you know, and so tried to score some brownie points. But the 2.5-year-old in our house loves to delay bedtime. And so her bit is always, when it's time to go to bed, I want to watch football. And of course, when my daughter says that, I'm not saying no. So her and I watched like 20 plays of that game in the first half. High scoring game, lots of touchdowns. Golden Tate, really good free agent signing for the Lions a couple of years ago. I mean, he's a good player for them. And I know the Lions season isn't going anywhere in terms of playoffs right now, but it's not like the cupboard is bare there in Detroit. I think they're a team that could rebound quickly in 2016. So even though we swept them this year, they didn't look good this year, they're not a team I'm discounting heading into the offseason and going into 2016.
So in Week 16, those Lions are hosting the San Francisco 49ers.
Mm-hmm.
The Bears are visiting the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, just recently knocked out of the playoff picture. The Packers are at Arizona in one of the bigger, if not the biggest, game this weekend, mm-hmm. and then the Giants are coming to town for Sunday Night Football on Sunday night.
Yeah, Vikings-Giants flex to Sunday night. Now, the Packers-Cardinals game probably has more implications on the line and did even before they made the decision to flex us into Sunday night, but Fox had that game protected, I'm guessing. That's why it wasn't flexed. Either that or the Packers have reached their primetime limit. I'm not sure. Whichever the case, it doesn't matter. That one will be at 3:30 p.m. on Sunday, and our game is 7:30, which means we'll be at the stadium and we'll have our eyes on that Packers-Cardinals game. A, it's a good game and a cool matchup, but B, it's got some implications for us and for the NFC. In fact, if the Packers win that game, they're going to go into Week 17, not just thinking about beating us and winning the division, but getting the number two seed. If Arizona also loses in Week 17 and they beat us, the Packers have the two seed. So that's a huge game in the NFC and for the Green Bay Packers and Arizona Cardinals on Sunday at 3:30 p.m.
All right, we'll move on to an over-under recap. We had Lindsay join us for over-unders, well, for much of the Wobcast, but also for over-unders. Just so happens that you guys chose the same things for each of the three selections. So
was she my good luck charm?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, you did a little bit better.
All right, let's go over it then.
Okay, we looked at passing yards for Teddy Bridgewater. Little did we know the day he had in store. Mm-hmm. We put the over-under at 210.5 yards. You took the over and were correct in doing so.
Thank you, Teddy, and thank you, Stephon Diggs and Jerick McKinnon, who had a million yards after the catch to help push that total over 210.5 and up to 231. Fantastic day for Teddy. Loved watching that. He looked like a veteran. He was accurate. He was smooth. He didn't panic. He even tucked the ball down and ran when he had to, scored a rushing touchdown. But, yeah, the passing yards was awesome. We don't need 350 passing yards from him. Well, you know, 231 is going to get the job done almost every single time, particularly when you throw in four touchdowns with it. But 231 yards passing for this offense, Nate, with the running game that we have and the way the defense is playing, that is nice. That's going to get the job done.
Total turnovers in the game, we put the over-under at 2.5. Mm-hmm. You took the over. You were wrong. There were two.
Well, thank you, Vikings, for not helping. Vikings had none.
Right.
Bears had two. We turned the Bears over twice. The Tratto interception and, of course, the B-Rob strip fumble recovery. Could have used another one. Were there any close calls? We didn't drop the ball and recover our own fumble. Teddy didn't even come close to throwing a pick.
There was a fumbled snap that Teddy jumped on.
Well, there you go. So, I'm glad it didn't happen.
Right.
Hey, by the way, Teddy didn't have a pick. Teddy had three incompletions in the game and four touchdowns.
I'll take that.
More touchdowns than incompletions. Not bad.
Finally, the temperature at kickoff. This is not really much of a Minnesota winter so far, mm-mm. which is not an awful thing, but you have an outdoor stadium for one, maybe a few more games this year.
Yep.
You want a little bit of winter weather. We looked at the temperature at kickoff. I looked ahead at the forecast. Forecast was for 39 degrees, so I put the over-under at 38.5. Mm-hmm. I heard right before kickoff, I heard Bruce, our announcer, say that kickoff temperature was 37 degrees.
Yep.
You rightfully took the under, so congratulations
to
you.
Yeah, won that one easily. One and a half degrees under the line there, no problem. I mean, bring the weather predictions at me all you want. Listen, it's the middle of December in Minnesota. I mean, it can't be 38.5 degrees. That was my thinking. It was dang close to 38.5.
It was close.
It's going to be under that on Sunday night. Sun will be down, night game. And I think it's supposed to snow on Saturday.
Really?
Yeah. So we'll get a little post-Christmas dusting. I think it's going to be cold Sunday night, so get your parkas ready, bud.
Closing the gap on a 500 record, you're 20-21 on the year.
Here we go.
So gaining a little bit of steam at the end of the season, just like your Minnesota Vikings.
Right. That's what we do. Goal is to be above 500 after the Week 17 game at Lambeau Field, and then let's wipe the slate clean in the playoffs. And let's have a guest do it every time with us in the playoffs. Wouldn't that be fun?
That would be fun.
Okay,
we'll do that.
We can try and do that. I definitely want to get a player guest for that playoff week Wobcast slate. For both, maybe, but for one, for sure. We got to get a player in here to talk about being in the playoffs. That would be a lot of fun. And then we can get him to do over-unders with us.
Sounds good.
Okay, cool. Speaking of the playoffs, should we take a look at the playoff picture?
Let's do it.
A little bit of a change in the AFC I see here, Nate, because going into Week 15, it was Chiefs and Jets as the wild cards in the AFC, but now you have it listed as Chiefs and Steelers. So that must have happened because the Steelers won and
the
AFC.
The Jets must have lost, right?
Did they lose? No. So what the heck happened? The Steelers beat an AFC team and have a better tiebreaker now or something?
I believe that is what happened.
All right, but your Red Hot Chiefs are still in it. They were 1-5 after our game.
That's right.
They are now 9-5. Private school math tells me that means they haven't lost a game since we beat them. They're hot. Going to put you on the spot right here. AFC playoff field right now, Patriots, Bengals, Broncos, Texans, Chiefs, Steelers, in that order. Is that how it will be entering wild card weekend?
I think the big questions are that 4 seed, the Texans and Colts. Texans just beat the Colts. That's why they're there. Maybe I haven't looked at the Colts schedule. Maybe there's really not much of a way they can get back in it because you know they're not going to make the wild card.
Right.
Their record's 6-8. So talking through that, maybe the Texans are a little more safe than I thought.
Okay.
But I think still those 3-9-5 teams, Chiefs, Steelers, and Jets, that'll be fun to watch
the
last 2 weeks of the season.
If everyone wins out, the Steelers are in, the Jets are out.
It is right now.
Yep, that's how it's going to go. I think that's your AFC playoff field right there. I think that's what it's going to be, and I think that's really good. I think that's really good. Patriots and Bengals would get the bye. Broncos would host the Steelers, so a rematch of what we saw last week, except it will be at Denver, and then you'll have the Texans and the Chiefs. And I love that. I think that'd be a great AFC playoff field. Okay, let's go to the NFC. Panthers and Cardinals are your top 2 seeds right now. Packers in the 3rd position. The spot to watch right now is the Redskins. They are the 4th seed because they are leaders of the NFC East. And here's the deal. If Washington wins on Saturday night at Philadelphia, they win the East. Okay, that's a Saturday night game this weekend because the college football regular season is over, so the NFL can play games on Saturdays without impeding on college football, which I don't like to do. So there is a Saturday night game this week, and it's the Redskins at the Eagles. If the Redskins win that game, they win the East, and that means the Giants are eliminated on Saturday night before they play us on Sunday night. Also, if Green Bay loses in Arizona on Sunday, it doesn't matter what we do against the Giants in terms of winning the NFC North. So there's an outside chance, Nate, that our game on Sunday night doesn't really have any sort of implications to it because the Giants could already be eliminated and we'll already be set up with a win and win the division scenario in Week 17. So that'll be interesting to watch. That would be not a very fun day for the Giants to be eliminated Saturday night, have to go to sleep in Minneapolis, wake up in the morning, and wait all day for the game to kick off at 7:25 at night. Not a fun spot. So they'll be keeping an eye on that Washington-Philadelphia Eagles game and actually rooting for the Eagles, the very same team the Giants play in Week 17. So Giants not eliminated yet, but they will be if the Redskins lose. The Vikings can be eliminated from the playoffs. We don't want that to happen. That means you're cheering for Seattle because if they win, we are in. And you're cheering for Carolina because if they beat the Falcons, we are in. Are you all cleared up on how the Falcons can still make the playoffs? Because a lot of people are confused about that because we beat them. But you all good on that?
Count me in on the confused side.
Okay.
Explain that a little bit more.
Okay. So the deal is we beat the Falcons. We're happy for us. If we finish in a head-to-head tie with Atlanta, Atlanta's out because we beat them. But if the Seahawks, who have already clinched a playoff spot, but if they lose out, they're 9-7. If Atlanta wins out, they're 9-7. And if we lose out, we're 9-7. Now it's a 3-way tie. So our head-to-head win over Atlanta doesn't matter in a 3-way tie with Seattle and Atlanta. So you got to go all the way down the tie-breaking procedures to the 5th spot for the strength of victory tiebreaker. That's where we lose out. The reason we lose out is because the Falcons would actually have the highest strength of victory formula because to get to 9-7, they will have to beat the Carolina Panthers. That's 14 wins right there. Basically, what you do is you take all the teams that you've defeated and add up their wins. Whoever has the highest number has the best strength of victory. Atlanta would be number 1. So now they're in. So now it's us and Seattle. Seattle beat us head-to-head, so we're out.
Gotcha. My head's spinning a little bit.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled programming. The Vikings should make it. The clinching scenarios this week, again, a Vikings win and we are in. Or a Falcons loss and we are in. Or a Seahawks win and we are in. The last note before we wrap things up, guessing, Nate, that our Week 17 game will not be at noon.
Tell me more, Wobby.
I think it's going to be flexed to either 325 and be the Fox game of the week, or it's going to be flexed to 725 and be the Sunday night football game. Remember, they don't schedule a game of the week or a Sunday night football game ahead of time. They wait until the games are over in week 16 to put the best matchups in those slots. The other two attractive games, if the Panthers beat the Falcons, they'll be 15-0. So Fox or NBC might want a piece of that, get an undefeated team going for 16-0. And then the other cool game potentially is Philadelphia at the Giants, because the NFC East could be on the line in that game if things fall the right way. But obviously Vikings-Packers is as attractive a game as you're going to get in Week 17.
Not to steal your guy Paul Allen's bit, and not to put the cliched cart before the proverbial horse. Did I switch that around? Cart before the cliched horse.
Oh, yeah. It's confusing.
Either way.
Don't be afraid to steal his bits. I do it all the time.
Okay. Good to know.
Yeah.
There could be a scenario, as you were just talking about, where the Vikings could be in not only two, but maybe even three primetime games in successive weekends.
Yes.
Because this week we have the Giants.
Yes.
Packers game could get flexed
to Sunday night. Yep.
And then one of the four wild card and three or four seed matchups is played on Saturday night.
Correct. Also televised by NBC in the past. Which
there you
I think it would be this year as well.
Probably. I'm not sure. But yeah.
So yeah. Now, as luck would have it, for me, I love the NBC telecast. Al Michaels is...
As good as it gets.
Yeah. It's a treat to listen to him. And Chris Collinsworth, I think, does a good job too. And I know that he's more of a polarizing voice, and that often happens with the color analysts. You love them or hate them. So whatever your opinion is of him is of him. But Michelle Tafoya is one of us. She lives and works here, is based here, and I love Michelle Tafoya. I think she does a great job, professional, courteous, really good to us, and love when she's doing one of our games. So I love that telecast, and I would love to play there three nights in a row.
And I love sleeping in, and that's something that we can do.
Sleep is good.
Three straight weekends of sleeping in, I'm very much okay with.
We do like that. We thank everyone listening for not sleeping through this edition of the Wobcast. We're going to be back later in the week with a sneaky Christmas edition of the Wobcast. Nate Vaughn and I never rest. Well, we do rest, but not so much that we can't put two Wobcasts out there on Christmas week. So we're going to be back later in the week. We'll take a deeper dive into Vikings-Giants, preview that game, take a look around the league, see what we want to have happen. We'll give you some teams to root for. We'll give you some cool stats, and we'll tell you about how our Christmases have gone so far. So on behalf of producer Nate Vaughn, I'm your host, Mike Wobshaw. This Wobcast is over. More to come later in the week. Merry Christmas and happy holidays to all of you. We'll talk to you next time. So, yeah, I start with